Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Not climb in desperation. Seems to throw at us, God, no matter what uncertainty we face, whether it be COVID or something else, God, I pray that we can say those words, that we can say, it is well. Even in the midst of our struggle, even in the midst of our storm that we face, it is well. Even in the midst of doubt and fear, and worry and tragedy and even death, Father. It is well. God, thank you for this time of worship, Lord. I pray, Father, that, God, you move in this place, Lord. God, as we continue worshiping together, thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom we celebrate and who we sing about this morning. In your name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Here, sing with me.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Would you be mine?
It's a beautiful day.
It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Here we go. I have always
wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in the neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Come on.
Since we're together, we might as well say it's hot. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Won't you please?
Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Ah, who thinks back to their childhood with that? It's, yes, yes, yes. Listen, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was a show that was on the air from 1968 all the way to 2001. And there was not a child alive probably in the United States that didn't think of Mr. Fred Rogers as their neighbor. And there were many parents who would have been happy to have him as their neighbor. A neighbor, a kind, thoughtful neighbor who treated all people with respect and courtesy. He was a great example of a good neighbor. But in the scripture, we don't find a great example of a good neighbor. We find the perfect example of a great neighbor. And Jesus gives us in the scripture what it is we're supposed to live out to be that neighbor. It's not about the neighbor, it's about us. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. You'll know the passage well. And I want to share with you today what's part of a two-part emphasis today and then again next week for something that we are saying is very important for the remainder of 2022. It's basically an 11 and a half month emphasis of prayer and of a few other things that I want to share with you today. But Matthew chapter 22, let me set the scene. Jesus has been confronted by some of the religious leaders, and he is now going to quote from the Old Testament and share truth with them. So Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now we know this passage as the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But what you might not realize is that Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we get this incredible word from God that says to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And in Leviticus chapter 19, the entire chapter describes what it means to love your neighbor. And then he ends by saying, or doesn't end, in the middle of the passage, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the context of Leviticus 19, and that's where we're about to go. So if you'll take your Bible, turn to Leviticus 19. We'll stay there the rest of the time. The context of this is this. The Ten Commandments have been given to the people of God, to the Israelites. And now the book of Leviticus, it was then given to Moses and it was written down. And we have all of these laws that would end up being moral laws, spiritual laws, civil laws, things that would help them know how to live out the Big Ten, know how to live out what it means to walk and honor God the way they should. And so Leviticus 19 was written, was given to Israelites. Now, I realize those of us in this room, we're not Israelites. I realize that. But the truth of the matter is this principle holds true for us. Jesus himself quotes from this passage when he's speaking in the New Testament. So we must never get to the place where we try to eliminate what the Old Testament is saying as if it is outdated or not useful anymore. Because we know the scripture is very important to us from beginning to end. And the Old Testament reveals and points to the New Testament. And the New Testament reveals some of the Old Testament. We see it together working, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that. So I want you to look at Leviticus chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. And here's what it says. When you reap the harvest of your land, speaking to the Israelite farmers, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So let me go ahead and say, just from this little passage, a good neighbor provides for a neighbor in need. It's the idea that as a farmer, you would not harvest the very closest part to the road. You'd leave it for those who are passing by who would need it. It says that even for sojourners, those that do not live near you but are passing through, you would leave and provide for them. So a good neighbor provides for a neighbor in need and looks out for ones passing through. Now, that's simple enough for us to do. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 11. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So here we see a good neighbor is honest, not deceiving. He keeps his word. Now let's be realistic. This one gets a little harder. Not that we want to be people who are untruthful, but boy, how easy it is to tell a little lie, or how easy it is to twist or to hold back part of the truth to make a situation less awkward or difficult or better for us. But here we see just a general thought that we would not steal, we would not deal falsely, we would not lie to one another. Look at verse 13. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. What's that saying? A good neighbor pays his obligations, and a good neighbor does not cause another neighbor to stumble. Well, that's important that we understand that that is the case. Let's keep going. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness, you will judge your neighbor. That's the idea of doing so fairly. Verse 16, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. What's he saying? A good neighbor shows no partiality, and a good neighbor seeks justice for all neighbors. That's not easy. It's one thing to say we want justice for all. It's another thing to act on the justice and the mercy of God. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Basically, the easiest way to sum that little part up there is a good neighbor acts with grace and walks in love. You don't see the word grace anywhere in the Old Testament, but my goodness, you see it in action multiple places. And right here is one example when it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Listen, some people give you a pretty good reason to hate them. Some people definitely give you a good reason to not like them. But the scripture would remind us that by the grace of God,
we can think differently. By the grace of God, we can do better. We can be fair and honest, and we cannot take vengeance against them, and we can love them and walk in love. Here's what I would say. When it comes to your own neighborhood, somebody new moves into your area or close to you, what do we say right away in our mind, if not out loud? I hope this is a good neighbor. I hope this is not one who's troubled. Maybe you've had a neighbor who's troubled before. You understand that's not always easy. We want good neighbors, but here's what I want to remind you of today. Everyone wants a good neighbor, but God commands us to be a good neighbor. Everybody wants a good neighbor, but God commands us to be a good neighbor. You see, there's something important here, though. If you look at this scripture in Leviticus, and you also look in the New Testament where Jesus says it, it's mentioned multiple times in the gospel. The Hebrew word written down for neighbor by Moses, and then the Greek word that's written down in the New Testament, multiple places for the word neighbor, both of those mean something very specific. If you just do a little word search, they imply a level of proximity. In other words, it literally means people who are near you. Now, I understand that there's a wider interpretation of the word neighbor. I've shared that before myself. I believe we can see from other places in Scripture and from the parable of the Good Samaritan, the idea that a neighbor is anyone you're aware of that has a need. That could be someone close by or far away. Your first neighbor is your spouse. Your second neighbor is your children. Your third neighbor are your neighbors, and so on. But the reality is there are people around the world that are our neighbors in the sense of we know of their need and we know their plight. And we can do something about it. So I realize that, but it's important to know that the simple definition here, when the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself, when it says so in Leviticus, and when Jesus quotes it in the New Testament, both times in two different languages, it literally means people near you. It means proximity. Now, realize it includes others outside of that. In fact, in Leviticus, if you were to keep reading, you would see in verse 34, it opens up the definition of that a little more. In verse 34, it uses the same phrasing, and it says, to love the foreigner among you as yourself. Now listen, that's pretty important. That's important for Albertville, Alabama to hear. That's important for Marshall County to hear. When it says, love your neighbor as yourself, God then qualifies it a little later, and he even says, love the foreigner among you as yourself. You hear the phrase, I'm repeating myself. We're to love those near us. We need to hear that and know that. But then Jesus did use the parable of the Good Samaritan to explain a little more about that. And it did open that concept. But I must confess that myself as a pastor, when I've talked about what that means, that it involves a lot more than just those close by, that is done in a way that is meant to encourage us to look for ways we can advance the gospel around the world. But I'm afraid that pastors like me have done an injustice. And that we didn't mean to do it, but it's happened because in some ways we've talked about loving your neighbor as loving the entire world when the reality is the simplest and easiest definition is you better start with those who live right next door to you. And you better start with those who are close by. It really means people who are close to us. Here's what I've learned over the years. I can say, and you hear people say it, I love all people. You hear someone say, I love all kinds of people. Okay, that sounds great, but how do you love someone you don't know? We can say we love them in the sense that we believe in them and want to care for them, but it has to be much more than some generic act of kindness in our mind towards an unknown person. We can be aware of them. We can even pray for them. But if we're really going to love them, listen to me, this is important. I believe the scripture would show it, and I've just found it true in my own life. True love requires relationship. The gospel love requires gospel living. It's to be lived out. And gospel living is all about relationships. So here's my confession to you this morning as your pastor. I mean it with all sincerity. It's not boastful because it's not a good thing. I'm just going to speak truth to you. I try to be honest every time I can. I personally do not know many of my neighbors. And I personally do not know many of the church campus neighbors that we have here near us. Now, let me explain a little bit. We moved into our home 2.5 years ago. We've been there. We moved in, and just a few months later, COVID hit, and everybody closed their door and stayed inside and all that good stuff. I get it. And we live in the country, so we don't have a lot of neighbors very close by, just a few. And I would say this, though. When it comes to our neighbors, it's such a small percentage that in 2.5 years, we've been able to know by name and to figure out who they are. It's a very small percentage. We tried as a family a few months after we moved in to deliver cookies to all of our neighbors. And can I be honest? That proved to be difficult. When a suspicious-looking, chubby guy knocks on your door, people don't open your door to that. We had to send Moses every time. It would, that's how you want to get in. You send an 11-year-old. And so that's how it works. And he's like, well, what if they have a big dog? You'll be okay, son. Just go. He's tough. He can run. So the truth is, though, it was not easy. We tried, but it was not easy. And then we gave up. We're still happy to wave and smile, but we don't really know our neighbors that well. Some, but not many. And then when it comes to our church campus, can I be honest? We don't know a whole lot around here. We know some. But if you were to take, and there's a map we'll put on the screen that will show you, it's hard for you to see it in the room. It may be better online, I'm not sure. But it's an aerial view of a half-mile radius of the church. And you'll see us in the middle with the white dot and the little kind of white rectangle right above it. That says, you can't tell what it says, but it says half a mile. That's when I drew the radius. But basically, if you could zoom in on that and really get a look, what you would find in a true half a mile radius of our church, there's approximately 450 homes. And that's a lot of homes that are representing a lot of real people. There are low-income homes, median income homes, and high income homes in that half a mile radius. There are native Albertvillians, and there are transplant citizens here. There are Christians, there are non-Christians. There are single parents, two-parent families, empty nesters. They're all here in a half a mile radius around our church. There are married couples, there are divorced individuals, there are people living together, there are same-sex couples, everything you can imagine in a half a mile radius of our church. There are many African American people, there are many Anglo people, there are many Latino people in a half mile radius of our church. I could go on and on. I had a burden for this a couple of months ago, and I mentioned it, I think, in early November that we were going to talk about this in January, and I started to look and do some checking around us, and the truth is, I could get you all kinds of information about the houses around us and tell you all kinds of things, but knowing information and knowing your neighbors are two different things. And I would say we really don't know our neighbors. And that's not on them. That's on me. And so today, I want to confess to you something that I really believe, and that is this. We have made a focus over the last decade that we want to advance the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have focused heavily on the Great Commission of making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded, and surely He's with us always to the very end of the age. That's called the Great Commission. And we've tried to make much of that. Even though we're not a large church, we've tried our best to not let size keep us from making a difference for the gospel all around the world to the furthest parts of the world. However, we've also tried to emphasize the Great Commandment, which is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. But here is my confession to you. It's easy as a pastor to consistently bulldoze right past the second half of the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, to get to what we would consider the most important parts of make disciples of all peoples. And I want to tell you, I confess that's not good. In fact, I love and believe what one missionary, great missionary, said, and that is this: the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest nearest home. And we will continue to be about making the nations know the gospel. We will continue to be about funding and going and praying for the nations. We will never stop that. We will continue to do that till Jesus returns. Or it'll at least happen as long as I'm pastor, I promise, because we will be about the Great Commission. However, I must say to you in all sincerity that I believe I have led us in some ways to not put the emphasis we need on the true understanding of what it means to simply love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, we've done a pretty good job of trying to reach out to different population segments in our city, and we've went across town to different places to do that, and we'll keep doing that. This will never be a one or the other. It will always be both and from this point forward, but we must understand that we cannot step past 450 homes right here to go and share in another part of our county or our city simply because we have a burden for that. We need a burden for the neighbors of our own church campus. I'm convinced of it. That surely, if I read Scripture correctly and I think about our importance, and the Scripture we'll use next week, I believe, defines this perfectly, and we'll just wait for that. But I want to say this, surely, that if we have, by God's sovereignty, I believe that God has a plan, and if we have, in God's sovereignty, planted ourselves publicly in the campus at 309 East Main Street on the corner of Main Street and Baltimore Avenue and Sand Mountain Drive, and here we are, and right here where we are, surely God expects us to be responsible for those closest to us. And oh, we've not done that. I'm not saying shame on you. I'm saying I confess. We've not led to do that. Well, that changes. We want to reach our neighbors for Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about some slick presentation where we knock on the door and we just give them something memorized that we've learned and say, repeat these words after me. That's not what I mean at all, in fact. What I'm talking about is a gospel conversation, which is built on gospel relationship, which is only built on knowing somebody. There's nothing wrong with going door to door and sharing the gospel, but I want to encourage us first to know our neighbors, to find a way to get to know them. And so the Great Commission, it starts with our neighbors, and the Great Commission is soaked. It is soaked in relationship. Now, my confession to you about my own neighborhood and then my confession about the church neighborhood. Listen, the reality is you're right here with me for the church neighborhood. I've never heard one person in our congregation say, you know, I've gone to every home in our neighborhood. I know all of our neighbors here at the church. So I'm just putting you here with me. But I have a feeling that some of you might be in the same boat we are in your personal neighborhood. Now, maybe you know people right on your street. Maybe you know people the next street over, but if you look at your neighborhood in a little bit bigger setting, I have a feeling that several of you, like me, would struggle to say you really know your neighbors. Listen, that's not easy, and I understand that, but my challenge to us today is that we will commit the next 11 and a half months to do our best to be good neighbors. And if we can learn to be good neighbors, I'm convinced we will get to know our neighbors. Not overnight. It's not all this month. Just over the next time. And take it beyond just your one street. Listen, your neighbors can't all be just like you. That's just not the way it works. Move it on out past that and on further. So we're starting something that we're calling the Good Neighbor Initiative. Now, this image that you see, Stephen designed it for us. And I want you to know this has got to be much more than just some image we throw out and say, okay, here, think about your neighbors, get to know them. That's not what this is. We want a plan instead that allows us to think strategically about how we live our lives in a way that we're getting to know new people around us. So here's what I want to ask you to do. When you came in the room, you received, hopefully you did, a little flyer that looks like this. If you're participating online, you'll see some points that will show up on your screen as we go. And so I just encourage you with that. But if you're in the room, take this out and you will see there are two main breakdowns to what we're asking you to do for the next 11 months. And here it is. It's my part, which means you, my part, which means me. And then it's our part, which means all of us together. So my part is for my own neighborhood where I live on Kuykendall Road. By the way, let's have a little debate. How many of you think it's Kuykendall? How many of you think it's Kuykendall? Who thinks there's a Kirk in it? Kuykendall, raise your hand. Okay, you're wrong. It's Kuykendall. But I'm just kidding. I just have deemed it that way. It has to be spelled correctly. So anyway, I don't really know where we live, but we live on we live on Kuykendall Road. But for me, I want this to be my plan for my neighborhood. And I'm asking that it's your plan for yours as well. First of all, to know my neighbors by name, to know them. To pray for my neighbors regularly, daily. To serve my neighbors, at least some neighbor, monthly. and to share with my neighbors. And again, not some slick presentation. This is not a bait and switch. This is about relationship. And in relationship, I don't know about you guys, but the people I'm in relationship with, the gospel comes up often. The people that I walk with and live life with, God and his kingdom come up often. So our part is to do those things. And then the part of the entire church, for our church campus to know our neighbors, the 450 homes around us, to pray for our neighbors, the 450 homes around us, to serve our neighbors. We'll find different ways to do that. We'll talk about next week. And then to invite our neighbors. And so that will be part of that. And again, the idea is this is not about transactions. This is not a project. Your neighbors aren't your project. They're real people with real families with real lives. Let's not make a project of anybody. This is an emphasis for us to be able to say we will be a good, godly, gospel-focused neighbor to those that are around us. It's about relationship over transaction. So how are we going to ask you to do this? Well, here's all I'm asking of you today. If there's anything that I'm asking you to walk away and do today, this is it. And that is to start by knowing your neighbors by name and praying for them. And we're going to help you with that. Now, I want to tell you about something. If you'll notice on your flyer, if you're participating on Facebook, there'll be a link that's going to show up in just a moment. Don't click on it yet. Listen to what we're doing. You can go back and do it later. But we'll get that information out to you a little differently. BlessEveryHome.com is a mapping service that's designed to pray for our entire nation. And it's free. And so I'm asking you in this room and you at home if you will be a light in your neighborhood. Now, if you're already saying, I don't know anything about computers, I don't have email, I don't do that, don't worry, we'll help you in just a minute. But for everyone that has a computer or if you have email, you'll need email to do this, I'm going to ask you before today is over, before you go to sleep today, if you take naps today, even before then, how about that? Some of y'all need to wake up right now. But anyway, before naps, to do this, to sign up at blesseveryhome.com/FBC Albertville. It's there. It's on your sheet. It's easy. We sent you an email this morning with the link already there if you're on our email list. We would ask you to go to that and give them just a little bit of information. And then what you're going to get in return, it's very simple. What you'll get in return is this. Now, all the info they're going to send you has been gathered correctly and legally, and none of it's strange. It's all public record and what people have given of their own. They didn't break into anyone's Facebook or bank account or anything private whatsoever. You're not going to get any private info, but what you will get is every morning you will wake up to an email in your inbox with five of your neighbors to pray for by name. There'll even be a button you can press, and it's going to populate on a map where those homes are, so you can pray for them as you drive by. Again, you're not getting anything private of information. It's the very stuff you and I could get on our own, except for the fact that we don't have a way to do that very easily. We haven't done it. And so what you'll do is you'll take and you'll sign up, and you'll receive five a day. So you'll see here, we ask you to sign up and then do what we're calling the five by five. Pray for five neighbors a day, 5 days a week. It's going to send you 7 days a week unless you do what I did and uncheck Saturday and Sunday. You'll see it. It's simple in there how to do that. I gave you instructions on the back of the sheet for that. But would ask you to pray for five neighbors 5 days a week. I started this 2 weeks ago. I wanted to try it out before we did as a group. And I got to tell you, it's already changed the way when I drive down the road and I see a neighbor's house and I'm learning who that is. And it's changed the way I pray for them. It's changed the way I think about them and pray for them. And so the idea is all of this is to be a tool for prayer. And if we could have 100 people, a husband can be one account, a wife can be one, you're probably going to get the same neighbors, but it might change a little bit for you, even though you're in the same home. It's just the way it will send it to you. But if you're going to pray for five a day, can you imagine if 100 people out of our church that normally has 350 or so on a Sunday, if 100 people said, I will do this, that would mean we would go from not praying for our neighbors very much to by tomorrow praying for 500 families in our community every single day. And I want you to know that's how we impact our community with the gospel. It starts with prayer. So I would ask you to commit that with me. Now, my wife is an example. She won't mind me sharing this because we talked about this morning. She said she doesn't check because of work. She uses that email. She doesn't check her personal email a lot. So she said, can you just print me a list? And so I did. And so if you're here and you don't get to check your home one a lot, or if you do not have email, we want to help you as well. We will print you a list of your 40 nearest neighbors. Now, if you want to be 80, we can do that, but it automatically is set for 40. And so you can pray for them 5 a day the same way. So if you're here in the room and you're not going to be able to do it online, you're not going to be able to do it through email, take out one of those little slips in the back of the pew in front of you, put your name there and put the word pray and just stick that in the offering box, and we will tomorrow print you your 40 nearest neighbors and we'll get those to you. And you can pray that way. We would love to take care of that for you if that's helpful to you. But the idea is that we don't take anything that's information we shouldn't have. We just take what's available and we pray for our community. And we become lights in our city. I've already seen the difference it's made for me. Again, I don't know if it's made a difference for my neighbors yet, but I know it's changing me to want to be a different kind of neighbor that's looking for ways to engage. And then we'll talk next week about the idea that once you've been praying for 5 neighbors a day, and it will change to 5 different every day, and after you reach 40, it'll start over again, and you'll pray for those same ones every couple of weeks. I'll tell you this, then we're going to ask you once a month to look for a way to serve one of those neighbors. It might be as simple as what we did by taking cookies to a neighbor. Maybe it's just stopping for a visit. I don't know. In this COVID era, you got to be careful what you do and how you do it. But you look for a way. We'll give you some ideas next week, how you serve them once a month. And then how you begin to pray for them. And how you begin to build relationship with them. Again, they are not your project. They are simply your neighbors. You are your own project. You're helping yourself become a better neighbor. To be the one that we're called to be. As a church, we're going to look for ways that we can adopt a street. We will adopt a little small neighborhood near us. We will find ways to do great grocery giveaways in the parts of our half-mile radius that have a need for things like that. We'll find ways to do a street blessing for others that have needs in a different way. We'll find ways just to do acts of kindness for those that might not have a physical need in the world that they have, but we're going to find ways. And then we have a group that we're going to ask, and any of you are welcome to do so, and we'll talk more about it next week. But if you're available during the day, we'll have one day every 2 weeks where people can gather, and if 10 gather, we'll lay out 20 names of our 450 homes. We'll pray over those names out loud together, and then we'll hand you a note card, a pen, and a stamp, and we'll ask you just to write them a personal note to say, I want you to know we've not reached out to you lately, but First Baptist Church is praying for you, and we are here for you, and we are in your neighborhood, and we want to know how we can be in your life. We're going to write personal notes to people. Listen, you say, well, will that matter? It matters to me. When I get a personal note, it surely matters. It does. And so there's a plan. We'll talk more next week. But for today, all I'm asking is this. Will we learn from what we read in Leviticus 19? Will we learn from what Jesus told us? And will we relearn a new way of thinking that does not just say, let's go to the ends of the earth? We will never stop doing that. But let's also not step over the people a half mile from your home, a half mile from this church, 100 yards from your home. Let's be the neighbor God's called us to be. So, as we come to a time of invitation, here's the invitation today. First of all, I'm asking that if you're participating online, I know we have people that watch from other states on a regular basis. You go to the link that showed up on Facebook, or I'll tell it to you again, blesseveryhome.com/FBC Albertville. It's not about being in our community. You can sign up, and it's going to do it for your neighborhood anywhere you are in the country. You can do that. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and make that commitment where you live to do it as well. But for those of us in this room, will you commit to be a light in your neighborhood? Will you join me in committing to be a light in this church campus neighborhood? It's going to take more than me. I confess I should have been leading in this a decade ago, and I have not. And so the invitation is this. I'm going to start in the altar because I truly believe, and I'm not for show, I sincerely want to make an act of repentance to the Lord that says, I do not want to step over those close by just to minister to someone across town or across the world. I want to minister to those, but oh, I don't want to leave these out closest to me. How horrible would that be? So I'm going to confess that. Maybe some of you would come and pray for your neighbors. Pray that you can be the good neighbor for your neighborhood. And then after I pray for a moment, I'll stand back up while we're singing. And if I can pray with you, maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of this faith family. Maybe for you, you have another specific prayer request. I'm going to put my mask right on. If you're going to get close, we'll pray. So I hope that'll make you feel more comfortable. And I'd love to pray with you right here. Whatever God is saying, would you join me in making a commitment for your neighbors? Would you join me in making a commitment for our neighbors? I want to be the person that can live out the great commandment, not just someone who espouses the great commission and the great commandment. I want to live it out. And the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest nearest home. So I've got some shining to do in our own community. Would you pray with me? Father God, my heart's desire is that I want to reach out to my neighbors. Lord, help me. Lord, my desire is that I want to help every person in this room to be able to pray for their neighbors. My desire is that I want us each to begin to see people with your eyes the way you see them. And Lord, to want to share the gospel truth with them through relationship the way you would have us to build that relationship. That we're not looking for some 1 week, let's do this big emphasis and we're done kind of situation. Lord, this is not a microwave, but that we would view this as a crock pot, that we want to build relationship over the course of this year with people around us, being the neighbor you've called us to be. God, help us. Help me. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Take my hands, take my feet, take my voice. Do that with each person here and those at home. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.